All right, let's go into chapter 27. We have the same, probably the same period of time in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, came the word of Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus saith the Lord unto me, Make thee bond and yoke, and put them upon thy neck, and send them unto the king of Edom, and the king of Moab, and the king of Amorites, and the king of Tyrus, the king of Zion, and message which came to Jerusalem to Zephaniah, the king of Judah. Now from this latter part of verse 3, many commentaries believe that this Jehoiakim should have been Zephaniah instead. And it sounds logical as we read the account here. But he was to take and make yokes. How many yokes, you see, is the thought. And I counted five yokes that he was to make. He had to try them all on. He had to put every one of them on. The word bond simply means that which fastens a yoke to the neck. These were made for oxen, actually, and they were heavy and hard. But he put them on his own neck first. And then he sent them to the king of Edom and the king of Moab, these five kings that are mentioned here, and commanded them to say unto their masters, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Thus shall ye say unto your masters. No doubt representatives from each one of these kings would come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place of merchandise at that time, and people brought their merchandise into the city. It hadn't been closed up yet. And so they would say, when the representative would leave, they'd send these yokes back to them. And here was God's word concerning the masters of these representatives. I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I have given it to whom it seems good, we might say, unto me, for that which is right unto me. And so in this verse 5 and 6, we can see the authority of God. He made all these things. He has a right to do what he wants. He has a sovereign right. And yet, he also has a power to enforce his right. So who could go against him? He said, Now I have given all these lands unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, again we have that, colon, and the beast of the fields have I given him also to serve him. So not only were the beasts to serve him, but also all these nations and the leaders. This was the purpose. God gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. He, like I say, he can do what he wants. It's God's decision. It belonged to him. He'll do what he wants to do with it. And they were to serve him. And all the nations shall serve him, and his sons' sons, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and many kings shall serve themselves of him. In this we have three generations, but actually there were more kings in Babylon than that. There was actually four successors. There was his son that reigned after him. His name was Evil-Merodach. And you can find this in 2 Kings 25:27, and also in 2 Chronicles 36:20, of the king that reigned after Nebuchadnezzar. Then he was slain, and his sister's husband took the throne. And his name was Nergal-Iser. I'll spell that for you. I copied this out of my Bible dictionary, so I don't know how to pronounce all these guys' names. It's Nergal-Iser. Now, he was a brother-in-law to Evil, or son-in-law, I should say, brother, to Nebuchadnezzar. And he began to reign, and then after him, his son reigned. His name was Nabonid, N-A-B-O-N-E-D, and he had another name And I'll spell that for you too, those are writing it down. LABOSODARCHED. Now you pronounce that one for me. You know, I've always been glad I got an easy name to spell. Anyway, these were not really heirs to the throne. And so then Belshazzar, which was a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, got old enough to reign, and he began to reign then upon the throne, and he reigned until the end, and we see his fate in the book of Daniel, and he was weighed in the balance and found wanted. So all of these were the generation, verse 7, sons, his son, and his son's son. And then we read, until the very time of his land come. And this was when Belteshazzar was reigning. And God sent the Medes and the Persians, sent the Cyrus down there. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. Now the phrase serve themselves could also be rendered take everything away from him. They'll give everything for themselves, is the thought that we have in there. And then we also know from Daniel and from history that after the Medes and Persians, the Grecians and the Romans and so forth came in and do that. And Israel's been under these nations ever since. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which shall not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with a sword and with a famine and pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. And so it was easier just to get under the yoke than to rebel against the word of God. And if we had this last week, if Israel or if the Jews, Judah, had just simply got under the yoke and said, all right, this is the word of God, we'll serve the king of Babylon 70 years, then they would have been all right. But they rebelled against him, and the temple was destroyed. The temple wasn't destroyed when he came down the first time. It was destroyed when they rebelled against him. Therefore, hearken not unto your prophets and your diviners and your dreamers and chanters, nor your sorcerers. See, these were all the power of the enemy. These were all the voice of the devil. And he said, don't you listen to them. And my mind goes to the last days, when the voice of the Antichrist will be more important than the voice of the word of God. People will listen to the false prophet, the Antichrist, that will actually be soothsayers during that time. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that you should drive you off and that you should perish. You see, if the enemy, if the devil could annihilate the Jewish nation, then God couldn't fulfill his promises to Abram. And so this is what he would like to do. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell there. And we say in the mate that if they don't, then they can't do that. I speak also unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. And Zedekiah did for a while, and then rebelled against Babylon. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy lies unto you. We have a lot of liars today that are not telling the truth. They say, oh, well, God's love is so great, so good, he won't send anybody to hell, he won't punish anybody. These just are lies. We got a lot of of false prophets in this world. God says, I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. Now this kind of goes back to the chapter before when they was accusing Jeremiah of being a liar. And yet God says, it's your prophets that are liars, not Jeremiah. Also I speak to the priests and to all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not unto the word of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessel of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon. They prophesy a lie. It wasn't to be brought back, and not until Cyrus's time. During Cyrus's time, I think it was brought back to the land. Cyrus won, Ezra won, I believe, about verse, I don't know, 5 or 6, I can't remember, just that was brought back. And then later on in Ezra, I can't remember where those verses are, but they were finally brought back to the land of Israel, but there's twice in the book of Ezra, and I can't remember. But I know in the first chapter of Ezra, it mentions that. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, and live. Wherefore should this city lay waste? But if they be prophets, then the word of the Lord be with them. Let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessel which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah at Jerusalem will not go to Babylon. Now, if you be a true prophet, then you cry out to God and have this stopped. Well, we know it wasn't stopped, which is a proof that it wasn't. In 2 Kings 24, I think it's verse 13, says that all this stuff was carried back into Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider concerning the pillars, and concerning the sea, and concerning the bay, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city. See, they took more than that. They took everything. They stripped the city of anything of any value and hauled it off to Babylon. Now, I say they wouldn't have done that if they would have just put their neck under the yoke and been subject. Now, Paul tells us, by the way, to be subject to the powers that be, that they are ordained of God, and that and even the policeman on the street is under God's authority. And Paul wrote to Timothy and said, pray for kings and those that are in authority. We're here on this earth, and we're not to rebel against the nation, whether we like the president or whether we don't like him, had nothing to do with it. He's the president, and I believe God put him there, bad or good, because we read that the powers that be are ordained of God. And so I must be under his yoke. And I say there's a lot of things I don't like about it. But nevertheless, I'm not going to rebel against it. I'm not going to carry picket signs and get out here and go against it. Verse 20. Yeah, we finished 19, didn't we? Which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took not. See, he left all this there when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Now, if you be a true prophet, then you talk to God and see if you get this all changed, where they won't do that. But they did do that. Verse 21, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the kings of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. And there they shall be until the day that I visit them, or visit Babylon, or the day that he brought the Medes and the Persians down to them. Visit them for judgment is the thought we have there, saith the Lord. Then, you see, after that, I will bring them up and restore them to this place. And by the way, that's Ezra 1:7 is what I was trying to bring one of them. And also Ezra 7:19 tells that story. 5:14 too, yes. There's a lot of verses, but it wasn't until Ezra's time, or I should say Cyrus's time, that these were brought back and used in the house again. God did restore them. Now, the fact that God did just exactly what Jeremiah prophesied made Jeremiah a prophet of God, didn't it? And so this is the reason that prophecies have a partial fulfillment and then later a greater fulfillment, because God had to prove that these were his prophets too.